Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 12 noon on this Monday, September 16th, 2024. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite, high atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square. Mr. Zommers, again, a bit overcast, but it looks like a spectacular weather week for this final technical week of summer before we get into technical autumn.
That it does. And it was a little toasty a couple of days this weekend, yes. at least for my personal taste.
Big news weekend. Going to get you all caught up. And then joining at us at the bottom of the hour, it is Mondays with Matt Flynn, our friend and ongoing contributor, former two-time chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party, an attorney and author of the great new book called Chasing Bernie Weber. Matt Flynn will be here at the bottom of the hour. He'll take your phone calls along with myself on the breaking news of the day. Matt is going to help us understand one of the overlooked stories of the weekend. And, you know, it was kind of like a fire hose of headlines this weekend, Zommers.
It really was.
And so it's understandable that this one got lost, but we are not going to allow it to get lost. We're going to talk to Matt Flynn about it. In the New York Times, a Supreme Court memo was leaked over the weekend that reveals Chief Justice John Roberts' role in shielding former President Trump from prosecution. We'll break that all down with Matt Flynn and much, much more at the bottom of the hour. A longtime conservative pundit and author and columnist endorsed Vice President Harris over the weekend for president. We'll tell you who it is, along with several former Ronald Reagan former staffers endorsing the vice president as well. And that's just some of the headlines, of course, that happened over the weekend. But very quickly, Zommers, I want to get to this. You saw the movie that I did last week, just a bit outside, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers, your 30 second to 1 minute film review of just a bit outside.
It was phenomenal. Everybody should go watch it. If you're not a fan of baseball, you will be afterwards. It definitely made me care a lot more about baseball. And All of these guys are fantastic guys telling the story. The decision to just let the players tell the story in their own words was the right call.
Yeah.
They go over a lot in 2 hours. It flies by, but it doesn't feel rushed at all. I can't say enough good things about it.
Yeah.
Really.
Well, good. I'm glad you enjoyed it as much as I did. I thought it was fantastic. I know some of my friends are going to go this week. Really looking forward to it. In theaters only, and for at least the time being, there are no plans to stream this. So get yourself to a Marcus Theater across the state of Wisconsin and take in Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Brewers. Had expected to talk a little bit about Wisconsin sports from the weekend. We might do that. But again, it was a big news headline weekend. But very quickly, the Wisconsin Badgers did not look good at all against Alabama. I'll simply say that. Badgers get with a huge loss against Alabama. They have the week off this week. And then they're out to the West Coast for the first game out there on the West Coast with the new alignment of the Big Ten. USC is now a conference game. That comes up in 2 weeks. And I can tell you, we're going to be there. Going to broadcast the show a couple of days prior to that game. More details on that later. However, the Packers got a huge win yesterday, even though Jordan Love was on the sidelines. Malik Willis, huge game. Packers looked fantastic. Great job by Coach Matt LaFleur in a game plan. Packers get a big win yesterday, so that's certainly good news there. We're going to be on location later on this week. Going to be down in Monroe, Wisconsin on Thursday and Friday of this week for Cheese Days in Monroe. If you live anywhere close, even if you don't, we'll have more details later, but get yourself to Cheese Days in Monroe. That's where I was yesterday testing out some of our equipment, scouting out our location there. When, of course, and of course, the big headline over the weekend, former President Donald Trump, once again, the target of another attempted, keyword attempted, assassination attempt, did a special report yesterday from Monroe. Want to thank Corey and you and the entire news crew for helping to put that together and get it on the air yesterday. Here is what we know at this hour as a update for you. According to various sources, including CNN, authorities recovered an SKS-style rifle with a scope from the area that the alleged attempted assassin, Ryan Wesley Routh, fled yesterday after he was spotted by a Secret Service agent, according to newly unsealed court documents. The accused appeared in court about an hour and a half ago. In an affidavit from Mark A. Thomas, an FBI special agent, said Secret Service agents recovered, quote, a loaded SKS-style rifle with a scope, unquote, as well as digital camera, which is a GoPro, and two bags, including a backpack. The affidavit included a black and white photo of the items law enforcement found. Routh, the accused, was charged with possession of a firearm while a convicted felon, and possession of a firearm with an obliterated serial number. He could face years in prison if convicted of the charges. According to court documents, the felon in possession of a firearm charge carries a maximum of 15 years in prison and 3 years of supervised release, while the possession of a firearm with the serial number scratched off carries a maximum of 5 years in prison and 3 years of supervised release. Look, we're going to talk about this today throughout the show. We're going to talk about it with Matt Flynn at the bottom of the hour. Let me make this clear right at the top. I've said it before on numerous occasions. I certainly emphasized it when there was an assassination attempt a couple of months ago against the former president in Pennsylvania. I completely disavow any sort of violence, particularly political violence. I call this out for what it is, and appeared, according to the FBI, appeared attempted assassination. That is not what this country should be about. That is not a way to settle our differences. We should be settling our differences at the ballot box, period. I rebuke and disavow any condoning of what happened over the weekend. It's terrible. Doesn't matter who the person is that's targeted, no one should be targeted in the United States of America or anywhere else for physical violence based on political differences or, quite frankly, anything else. So I want to put that out there right away. What we found out, and again, we had the breaking news over the weekend yesterday, I think it's also very important for all of us in that have a microphone or a camera in front of us to let this play out in the courts. Let the investigation of the Secret Service and the FBI play out and not rush to a certain judgment on this guy or his motives. We know that for a fact that this guy had been over in Ukraine, an American. By the way, he's not a Haitian. He's not a person of color. He's not a drag queen. He's a white dude. So let's put that out there, because I think that's important in today's society. He had gone over to Ukraine, apparently at some point, and was in favor of helping defend Ukraine. Now, this is why I'm saying it's very important that everyone, myself included, get everything on the table and take it slowly. There's a Wisconsin-based conservative talk radio host I'm not going to mention over the weekend that was tweeting out only part of the story. It's true that this guy, this alleged gunman who wanted to assassinate, allegedly, President Trump, it's true that he gave small amounts of money to Democratic candidates and was, at least for a time, supporting Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. And so what conservative media is putting out there is just what I said. That's all they're telling you. Let me tell you, as Paul Harvey once said, the rest of the story. We've also learned over the weekend, according to this, I mean, the social media that this guy put out on Facebook and Twitter and elsewhere, he was originally a Trump supporter in 2016. Trump guy. Then he got apparently off the Trump train and for a time supported Harris and Biden. Then, most recently, he's on the Vivek Ramaswamy train and tried to get Ramaswamy and Nikki Haley to go together. Was all in favor of them. So it's a very complex profile that this guy has. And how you go from Trump to Biden to Ramaswamy to Harris, I mean, that says to me a guy who has some mental health issues. How you swing around like that. He has a long rap sheet in both Florida and North Carolina. And it gets to the point that other of my colleagues in this network have already talked about. I'm sure more will. Why and how did this guy have an automatic rifle when clearly he was breaking the law in doing so? And then you have Republicans, MAGA folks out there incensed and saying that somehow Democrats are responsible for this attempt on Trump's life because of the rhetoric. Let me point you to Adam Kinzinger, former congressman, Republican from Illinois. Kinzinger on his Twitter account over the weekend said, quote, look, violent rhetoric is wrong and has no place. But MAGA pretending they didn't light this fire is gaslighting to the 100th power. Since Trump showed up, politics has gone to crap. Literally just accused a group of people of eating our pets. So stop. Now we have clips. I'm not sure we're going to have time for them today. We have clips of Trump making jokes about Nancy Pelosi's husband, Paul Pelosi, when he was nearly killed with a hammer being, you know, the intrusion. Thought that was funny. Don Jr. tweeted out with a photo of a pair of tighty-whitey underwear with a hammer on top of it and said, look, I have my Halloween costume ready. That was from Don Jr. They thought that was funny. So spare me the language and the talk about somehow, you know, Democrats are responsible for this. This dude, the accused, clearly a mental health case. Back with more. Matt Flynn is straight ahead. More headlines. We're going to clear up, at least in part, this whole eating pets thing from Republicans on the other side. It's the Todd Allball Show. Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is Monday, September 16th, 2024, 20 now past the hour of 12 noon, getting through the voluminous headlines of the weekend. And again, let me make it clear, I am glad that former President Trump was uninjured. I'm glad he's fine, at least physically. And of course, President Biden came out saying the same thing. Biden made it clear that he wants to make sure that all the resources are given to the Secret Service to protect Trump moving forward. Vice President Harris came out, denounced political violence, and said that she was also glad that Trump was uninjured. 855-752-4842. Let's go quickly to the phone lines. Karina listening in Milwaukee. Karina, always appreciate it. If you could keep it brief, we have got other things to get to the bottom of the hour, but while you called, I wanted to put you on. Karina, go ahead.
Hi, Todd. You see, I think that this an ability to go on air in front of the whole national country and say pure lies, make everybody angry for one reason or another, and have that reaction back. You know, it's just the law. For every reaction, for every action, there is the reaction. And Trump allowing by his behavior and lies is to be happening, because the application will go back to him right away. And also, I think that somebody somewhere have to start acting up on behalf of those people, because of the deformation of a character. Some lawyers have to open up the case against of Trump and people who's repeating the lies towards to a whole population of people, new people,
yes,
in this country.
Totally agree, Karina. Thank you for the call. And Karina, you lead us right into where I wanted to go here. And that's this. And again, I don't want to spend a bunch of time on this, because Pete Buttigieg, we're going to play this a little bit later, he sums up in part why all this is happening, this rhetoric that Karina's talking about. But I do want to clear this up. Let's play the, and you, I think you've all heard it by now. Of course, Trump in the debate last week with Harris repeated this false claim that was started on Facebook, who the author over the weekend admitted was made up, about Haitian immigrants eating cats and stealing people's pets and eating them, which is 100% false. We're going to prove it false in a second. But first of all, this was J.D. Vance yesterday, I believe on CNN, Zomers, keep me honest, CNN yesterday, admitting that this story was made up.
The American media totally ignored this stuff until Donald Trump and I start talking about cat memes. If I have to, create stories so that the American media actually pays attention to the suffering of the American people, then that's what I'm going to do, Dana, because you guys are completely letting Kamala Harris coast. You had one interview with
her. All right, there you go. If I have to make up stories, Vance said, if I have to make up stories to make my point, I will. If Trump and Vance are making up stories that are causing the closure of universities and public schools and hospitals in Springfield, Ohio, if he's lying to you about that, what else is he lying about? What else is he making up? J.D. Vance asked later, if he regrets his comments on eating pets, here's what he said.
On September 9th, you amplified what you said yourself were rumors about Haitian migrants eating pets. Donald Trump then claimed those were facts, and he repeated them to 67 million people on the debate stage this past week. In Springfield yesterday, two hospitals went into lockdown after police were alerted to a bomb threat. On Friday, two elementary schools, one middle school, were evacuated. Thursday, an elementary school was also evacuated, and Springfield City Hall had to evacuate due to a bomb threat made by someone who said they were concerned about immigration. These false claims are endangering your constituents. Do you regret your words?
Well, Margaret, first of all, we condemn all violence and condemn all threats of violence. I want whoever made these threats to be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. But we don't believe, Margaret, in a heckler's veto in this country. You can condemn violence on the one hand while also saying that there have been terrible problems caused by Kamala Harris's open border in Springfield. Now, you said that these are false rumors. Well, I've heard about a dozen things from my constituents in Springfield, Ohio. 10 of them are verifiable and confirmable. A couple of them, we have direct firsthand accounts of, for example, migrants abducting geese at the local park and slaughtering them and eating them. Now, maybe all of these constituents are lying to me, but I would appreciate if the American media showed up and did some real investigation rather than amplifying the worst people in the world. Why is somebody calling it a bomb threat, Margaret? It's because they want attention. I think that we should ignore these ridiculous psychopaths who are threatening violence on a small Ohio town and focus on the fact that we have a vice president who's not doing her job.
All right, that's enough of that. Hear that? Vance refused to take responsibility. He comes from Ohio, by the way, Vance, and then blames his own constituents for spreading the lie that he and Trump are themselves. And it's resulting in death threats against his own constituents in Ohio. And saying that you want proof that it's made up, J.D. Vance? You want proof that it's untrue? Zomers, let's go to cut two. Your own Republican governor, J.D. Vance. Your own Republican governor in Ohio, Mark DeWine. This is what he said about these untrue stories in Ohio.
And here's a question I never thought I would have to ask, but do you see any evidence as governor of the state that Haitian immigrants are eating pets?
No, absolutely not. That's what the mayor said. That's what the chief of police has said. I think it's unfortunate that this came up. Let me tell you what we do know, though. What we know is that the Haitians who are in Springfield are legal. They came to Springfield to work. Ohio is on the move, and Springfield has really made a great resurgence with a lot of companies coming in. These Haitians came in to work for these companies. What the companies tell us is that they are very good workers. They're very happy to have them there. And frankly, that's helped the economy. Now, are there problems connected? Well, sure. There's when you go from a population of 58,000 and add 15,000 people onto that, you're going to have some challenges and some problems. And we're addressing those. We're working on those every single day. Primary care is essential. The other thing we're working a lot on is driving. We have Haitians who, frankly, many times have not driven before. We need to get more driver's training, and we're working on that. So these are things that we are working on. Springfield is moving forward. I've always felt that, and as the governor of the state of Ohio, you know, we want people who want to come here who are legal, where they come from another state or another country, want to work.
So
that was Mike DeWine, the Republican governor of Ohio, who says these made up rumors from Trump and Vance, repeated by them, is completely false, despite what Vance continues to say. And here's the important point. The governor, the Republican governor of Ohio, says these Haitian immigrants in Ohio are legal. Legal. We're going to come back. We're going to have Pete Buttigieg is also going to weigh in on this. And we're going to have your phone calls as well. Matt Flynn, there's so much. We might go 3 hours today. Stand by. And also, we're going to give away $100 next hour. It's a big, big Monday. And Matt Flynn is next on the Todd Allbowles Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
On this side of the law, on that side of the law, who is right, who is wrong, who is for and who's against the law?
Welcome back to the Todd Allbowles Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 34 minutes past the hour of 12 noon on this Monday, September 16th. If it's Monday, it must be Matt Flynn. Mondays with Matt Flynn edition. Once again, always proud to have him here on the show. Our friend and ongoing contributor, a two-time chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party, an attorney, and a fantastic author. His new book called Hunting Bernie Weber, available wherever you buy your books now, by Matthew J. Flynn. Matt, always a pleasure. Happy Monday to you. How are you?
Good to be back with you, Todd. I love being on the Todd Allbowles Show. I love that good Johnny Cash music. A lot to talk about.
So much. It's become the Johnny Cash music is synonymous with you, and Zommers always does a great job dialing it up. Matt, lots to talk about. As my old friend Don Armitage was fond of saying, Matt, I feel like I'm busier than a one-armed man in a wood chopping contest. I mean, it's been a busy weekend. let's get right to it, Matt. Before the break, talking about this ridiculous false claim by Trump on the debate stage last night. It was started by this woman on Facebook. Over the weekend, she came out and admitted it was false, apologized for starting it. We played the cut of J.D. Vance saying that if he has to continue to make things up, his words, he will, to make a point, and then refusing to admit that he's sorry. Meanwhile, in Springfield, Ohio, hospitals are having to lock down due to bomb threats. One of the universities there is doing classes virtually for the week out of fear of safety of students and faculty. And some K-12 schools are also canceling classes out of fear of safety over this falsehood that has been started by somebody online and perpetuated by Trump and Vance. The Republican governor of Ohio, we played the cut, Mike DeWine, rebuked these rumors, said they were false. And the important point is that these Haitian immigrants are legal immigrants to Ohio. Matt, I want to get your take on this, but very quickly, before we do, let's go to the phone lines. Cindy in Appleton, you've been waiting through the break. We appreciate it, Cindy. Cindy, what say you?
Well, you know, this lying talking head and that orange-faced talking lying head, I honestly can't understand how we could possibly have these two on stage, and I honestly believe the two of them are going to win the electoral vote, and we are going to be stuck with these two morons forever because everything will be undone and will be dictatorship, and I don't know how people can support this. Mm-hmm. And I think the Electoral College is something that should have been dismantled decades ago because now we'll never have the chance.
Yeah. Cindy, thanks. I really appreciate your call, as always. Matt, I don't want to go too far down the electoral argument, although we can at some point, but not right now. First, I want to give you an opportunity, Matt Flynn. What's your take over the weekend on how these false rumors have played out regarding this pet eating stuff, Vance refusing to take responsibility, and Republican Governor Mike DeWine debunking it?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, it's a disgusting thing. Cindy, good to hear your voice coming from Appleton, Wisconsin. But it's a disgusting thing, and I have a lot more respect for Mike DeWine than I had before. He didn't just say it was false. He said it was garbage.
Yeah.
And he said it's got to stop. I really liked that. I liked that a lot. Now, here's the deal. Trump and Vance are very sneaky. This is being orchestrated because, just hear me out on this one.
Yeah.
They know damned well that people are not eating cats and dogs in Springfield. It's resulted in death threats. When Trump was asked about it, he said, well, I don't know. He lied. He said, I don't know anything about it, but I know that there are a lot of illegals there, which there are not. But what's really going on is this. They will do anything to highlight the immigration issue, anything. Mm-hmm. And what they do, this is a metaphor. Everybody goes, a lot of their base will go, well, I know that these people are not eating dogs and cats, but it reminds me of the fact that there is, for instance, hordes of immigrants that were bussed by Texas and Florida and New York and Chicago, and obviously something's got to be done about the immigration issue. And yes, I know that there's been bipartisan support that was torpedoed by Trump, but it just basically keeps it alive, you know. And yet Wittenberg, I think it was Wittenberg College, is a very, yeah, very good college.
Yeah.
In Springfield, they had to stop classes. No one's saying that their students are eating cats and dogs, and because, in fact, nobody is. The nations aren't either. But they get swept up on this thing. So
yeah.
I think it's disgusting. I think Mike DeWine is exactly right. It's garbage. But it is done intentionally to highlight the whole litigation, the whole immigration issue.
If you want to talk to Matt or myself, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Matt, I want to play a couple of cuts. I want your analysis on them, your reaction, as you always do. First, Summers, Rick Wilson, the co-founder of the Lincoln Project, was on the news shows this weekend. It sets up with the question here in this cut, and then here is Rick Wilson's answer over the weekend.
And I just kind of outlined a few examples of real life consequences where it is about the threat of migrants.
Sure.
These people, these you know, domestic terrorists, these are people who are politically motivated. They carry out violence in the name of this sick ideology. Do you think Trump and his colleagues are even worried about the real life impact of running amok with insane lies like the ones they're spreading in Springfield?
I'm going to be very blunt. I think Trump wants someone to be killed. I think they want this violence to escalate. I think they want to then say, these migrants have caused the violence. They brought this on themselves. Look at our cities on fire because of these terrible people from faraway lands who happen to be dark-skinned. This is a racist playbook that goes back well before Hitler. This goes well before the idea that somehow people were eating cats and dogs. This story gets recycled over and over again. This story was recycled from a story that happened in Britain during the Brexit campaign when Rupert Murdoch's newspapers and media outlets were saying, oh, these Polish immigrants are eating the swans out of all the lakes. Mm. They're eating people's chickens. This is a lie that they love to tell. They love it more on the MAGA side right now because, let's be very, very blunt, they see a group of people who they absolutely loathe in every way. They're legal immigrants. They are from Haiti. They are black and they are hardworking. They hate all of that. It blows up every one of their lives. They're not here illegally. They're not here on welfare. They're here working to make their community better. It is a disgusting and racist lie, of course, but the violence and the threat of violence in the minds of many MAGA types is a promise. It's something they want because then they can say, oh, well, now it's escalating. And then we'll blame the people. They will blame the victims of the violence that the MAGA people are engendering against these Haitians. They will blame it on the Haitians.
Rick Wilson, co-founder of the Lincoln Project, Matt Flynn, he never minces words, nor do you. You're the historian here. What do you think?
Rick Wilson, right on, Rick. Right on. Good man. He's exactly right. Let me tell you something. This whole thing is reminiscent of the blood libel that goes back to the Middle Ages. There were anti-Semitic tropes came up when the Irish came here in the 19th century, the same thing. And it always circles around something unthinkable and bizarre of what you eat or who you kill and that kind of thing. And it is done, in my view, not that rational people truly think that Haitians are eating cats and dogs in Springfield, but they're reminded of the fact of the immigration problem. And Rick is exactly right. I think Trump does want to get somebody killed. He has talked violently. He wanted Hillary Clinton killed. He said, disarm her. Remember, in 2016, he said the Second Amendment people should take care of her. He has advocated violence his entire political life. And this is something that's going to result in violence. These people are getting death threats, and they've had to close the schools. Rick Wilson is right on, right on.
Matt Flynn, before we move on from this topic, Zomers, I want to play one more clip. And as a former Republican, Matt, who left the party in 2011, my former party is fond of always going to business. Well, let's look at, don't look at it from a government standpoint. Let's look at it, if government was only run like a business. And look, I'm not an anti-business guy. I've owned small businesses. But let's go to Springfield, Ohio, and listen to a small business owner from Springfield, Ohio, over the weekend talking about Haitian immigrants.
Mirsu says he came to Springfield for the same reason most Haitians did. He heard that housing was cheap and jobs were plentiful.
It started slowly. We had an application pool that was a little bit different.
People coming to work here.
People looking for jobs. What he's welding here again are welded axle components.
Jamie McGregor is the CEO of McGregor Metal, which makes welded parts for the auto and farm industries. Right now, about 10% of his workforce is Haitian. Over 30 employees.
I wish I had 30 more. Our Haitian associates come to work every day. They don't have a drug problem. They'll stay at their machine. They'll achieve their numbers. They are here to work. And so in general, that's a stark difference from what we're used to in our community.
McGregor acknowledges the sudden arrival of so many new immigrants is a challenge on multiple fronts. But he believes this is partly how the industrial Midwest can regrow.
We want more jobs in our community. And in order to fill those jobs, some jobs need to be people who are not originally from here.
That was a business owner in Springfield, Ohio, courtesy of Public Broadcasting, Matt, in Ohio. I thought it was a great on-the-ground reporting from Public Broadcasting in Ohio, talking to a business owner who is thrilled to employ legal Haitian immigrants.
Right on. And I'll tell you something else. You can see it right here in Wisconsin, Todd. Two-thirds of the cows in this state, two-thirds of them, are being milked by immigrants, usually Mexican and from south of the border. They work hard, they don't get paid a lot, and they do their job. Cow has to be milked every day, including Christmas Day. Cow has to be milked every day. So what are people saying? All right, to hell with these people, throw them all out. Who's going to milk the cows? The Republican Party? Right. I don't think so. Give me a break. Right. Give me a break. What, J.D. Vance is going to milk a cow? J.D. Vance will milk a widow to take her pension. That's what he'll do.
That's a great line. I like that. Well, let's break. It's Amherst. We have time for the Buttigieg clip there. Is that going to fit in our time frame? All right, Matt, let's listen to this, and we're going to move on. This, I thought Pete Buttigieg, Secretary Pete Buttigieg, nailed it again over the weekend.
But just to see the impact that something like this could be having on people's lives, what do you make of what's happening?
This is a strategy, and there's even more to it than demonizing immigrants, although that's obviously part of what he's doing. This is a strategy to get us talking about the latest crazy thing that he did, whatever urban legend he amplifies. Right now it's about people eating cats or geese or whatever, because he cannot afford for us to be talking about his record. He doesn't want us talking about the fact that we lost manufacturing jobs on his watch even before COVID, which is why the United Auto Workers are against him. He doesn't want us talking about the fact that his main economic policy promise he actually kept was to cut taxes for the rich. He doesn't want us talking about how he demolished the right to choose in this country, that he's the reason that even IVF could be banned in many places in this country. The last thing he wants us to do is to talk about his record or his agenda. So what he wants us talking about is whatever crazy nonsense he can thrust into the center of the internet and the media conversation, which this week happens to be the stuff about eating cats or dogs or geese or whatever.
So you think it's just a distraction technique?
Yeah, I mean, but it's one that isn't harmless, right? It's affecting this community, and it contributes to this bigger picture of demonizing immigrants. But again, this is strategic. I don't give him credit for much, but whether it's this, whether it's blurting out a racist remark in a auditorium full of black journalists, as he did a few weeks ago, whether it's choosing 9/11 of all days to invite a 9/11 truther who said it was an inside job with him, right? All of these things are to a purpose. And the purpose is to do something so outrageous that we have to talk about it, that journalists have to go in if for no other reason than to run it down and debunk it when it's false. And to try to suck up all the oxygen into that so that we're not talking about his profoundly unpopular policy agenda, Project 2025, and all of the failures of his actual time in office.
Pete Buttigieg, Secretary of Transportation, Matt Flynn, I thought he nailed it. 1 minute left. What's your analysis?
He not only did he nail it, and he said distract from the manufacturing job loss under Trump. You know what it's meant to do is detract from the fact that Trump is a Russian agent, will destroy NATO, will destroy Ukraine, and let the Ruskies start going slowly into Estonia, Latvia. And everybody forgets that. They go, oh, we don't have to talk about foreign policy. Well, yes, we do. Yes, we do. And the fact of the matter is that Donald Trump is a traitor to the United States. He's a Russian agent. People had better wake up to that. And the distraction that Buttigieg is talking about is partly economic, but partly foreign policy. And we have got to wake up to that.
We're going to wake up when we come back with Matt Flynn on what's happening in the Supreme Court. You're not going to want to miss it. This is the All Ball Show with Matt Flynn Mondays on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Who is for and who's against the law?
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 10 now before the hour of 1 o'clock. Coming up next hour, going to give away $100 in our Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest. I have to be very careful about this contest. The attorneys were, we had a phone call on Friday from the attorneys upstairs, and I'll explain next hour. But right now we have, it was not from the attorney we have on the show right now. He's our friend and ongoing contributor, Matt Flynn, two-time chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party, an attorney and author of the great new book called Hunting Bernie Weber. Matt, always a pleasure. Very quickly, Matt, by the way, if you want to talk to Matt, ask him a question, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Cam in Appleton texting in, saying of this whole eating cats and dogs thing, quote, I can't stop shouting, quote, they're eating the dogs, unquote, at my dogs, please help. Also says Boris Johnson did the same thing in the UK, was saying crazy stuff. Matt, I want to move on because there was an important story that got overlooked with the assassination attempt on Trump and everything else we've been talking about. Bring us up to speed on this really important story, I thought, in the New York Times regarding Chief Justice John Roberts.
Yeah, this is very important, so pay attention to this one. The Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, unlike our state Supreme Court, the Chief Justice gets to appoint who's going to write an opinion if he's in the majority. Mm-hmm. If he's not in the majority, the senior judge in the minority gets to appoint it. That's very important because whoever writes the opinion can really make a lot of law. This guy Roberts has been sending memos, supposedly confidential, sneaky memos around, getting people, trying to set them up to write it his way, and then picking somebody. He picked Alito. He picked Alito to do one of the democracy cases, and then Alito was found out to have hung the American flag upside down, siding with the insurrectionists, so he yanked it and wrote it himself. I have talked about the six tarantulas. It turns out Roberts is the chief tarantula. The truth of the matter is that Clarence Thomas and Alito, on the surface, are the worst tarantulas. One of them is bribed. I mean, Clarence Thomas is bribed, and he's the swing vote in a number of 5-4 decisions that have really hurt this country. But the chief manipulator is Roberts. Now, remember a couple of things. This Supreme Court has decided that they are going to be, contrary to the Constitution, a super legislature that can never be voted out of office and can order things from a legislative point of view, which is totally unconstitutional. And they're doing it slowly but surely with the Dobbs decision, with the Shelby County decision on the Voting Rights Act, mm-hmm. with Citizens United, and all of it. Slowly they are saying, we are a legislature. Something's got to be done. And anybody listening to this who's supposedly undecided on how you're going to vote, if you vote Republican, you are voting for a Supreme Court that has, frankly, treacherously said, we are a super legislature that you can never vote out of office, and we are going to tell you how you're going to run your lives. That's just dead wrong, and Chief Justice Roberts, with these memos, is setting that up.
So these memos, and help me understand this, Matt, as you always do, these memos were leaked. The New York Times got a hold of them. And it appears, if I'm reading this right, that Chief Justice Roberts was basically saying, my paraphrasing, that, look, we're going to shield Trump from prosecution before the case was actually heard and decided by the whole court.
Right, right. Before he'd even read the briefs. And not only that, I mean, they're functioning as a Republican legislature that can't be, well, they can be impeached, but it's going to take 67 senators. You'll never get it. That's exactly what he's doing. And fortunately, on one of his memos, four justices pushed back, the three Democrats and Amy Coney Barrett, who is showing a glimmer of good faith, a glimmer. Mm-hmm. But that leaves five, and it leaves the two main tarantulas, Alito and Thomas. But Chief Justice Roberts has surfaced as the most dangerous and manipulative tarantula.
Andrew in Verona on WMDX on the text line says, quote, I'm looking forward to the Frontline episode on John Roberts' legacy after he's eventually gone. Unfortunately, that's way too late to open people's eyes. We need more leaks now, unquote. That's why I wanted you to walk us through this, Matt, because, again, with all the other headlines of the weekend, hardly anybody's talking about this. And to your point, and this is what I hear, Matt, and tell me what your take is. I hear from people on the street that say, well, you know, I want Harris to win. But, you know, if Trump gets back in, he can't go too crazy because the Supreme Court will be there and he won't let them, that the court won't let Trump implement the most crazy stuff in Project 2025. But it pains me to say this, Matt, as someone who believes in American institutions, I don't know that we can any longer trust the current U.S. Supreme Court to do the right thing, the majority of them.
When you have six tarantulas out of nine, of course you can't trust them. And the fact of the matter is that the institution that you and I revere is a Supreme Court that is the pre-Rehnquist back 30, mm-hmm. 40 years ago, where people would actually do the right thing, even if it didn't fit their politics. What's happening right now, and I can't emphasize this enough, the Constitution does not permit the Supreme Court to legislate. In fact, the Constitution, believe it or not, doesn't even say the Supreme Court can overturn an act of Congress. They just flat out pulled it right out of thin air and decided they could. And we say that's fine on Brown versus Board of Education and Baker v. Carr and all that. But you turn around and you have a bribed tarantula, Clarence Thomas. He's taken $4.5 million in bribes.
Mm-hmm.
$4.5 million in bribes. And you have now Thomas... You have Chief Justice Roberts sending around memos, kind of crafting pro-Trump and a pro-Trump agenda without having read the briefs.
Right.
I mean, this is all a fake. Now, what do you do with that? You impeach them. but it takes a majority in the House of Representatives and 67 senators. And you have, what, Tommy Tuberville and Ron Johnson? You think they're going to impeach any justice who's on their side? No. You got to get rid of the filibuster, and you've got to get rid of these justices. And that's a separate issue about how we do it, and we don't want to do it violently. But we have, because of Trump, and let me tell you something. The guy gets back in, he'll appoint two more justices.
Right.
And it'll be totally impossible for a generation to reverse
Matt,
this.
Matt, I want to get you a quick take, 1 minute left. Conservative columnist George Will, along with 17 former staff members of the late Republican President Ronald Reagan, all endorsing Kamala Harris this weekend. What do you make of it?
That's unbelievable, because many people say they won't vote for Trump. But, for instance, Romney says, well, I want to at least tell. Of course, who else is he going to vote for? It's going to be right. Harris. The fact that that's happening, and the fact that hundreds of people in Trump's administration, his former vice president and most of his cabinet, will never vote for him. Everybody out right. there, wake up. What are you waiting for? You waiting for a gilt-edged invitation? Guys who work with this guy. Well, he wanted to hang his vice president.
Right. Matt, pigs are flying by the radio station windows right now as George Will has endorsed Vice President Harris. Back hour two after this.